Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley, and I'm your host for this podcast. I'm so glad you are joining me today with my guest, Jenny Neuenhaus. But before we get started, I want to remind you that I have a Patreon account, and you can become an ambassador of the podcast. If you love it as much as I do, go down below in the show notes and click on the link that says Become a Podcast Ambassador. So Jenny grew up in the Netherlands, and that is where she learned the weight of the labels Dirty Farm Girl, Not Smart Enough, and Too Outspoken. From those labels, she learned that life meant to be a struggle for attention, for love, and for acceptance. And without the comfort at home that she needed, Jenny turned to food, which marked the beginning of a 20-year struggle with disordered eating. And we talk more about that in the episode. But now, as a speaker, model, and content creator, Jenny uses her personal stories of invisible illness, bulimia, Lyme disease, and depression to help women wake up from a life on autopilot and unapologetically go after their desires. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jenny as much as I did. Was we're taught that everything has to be perfect, but the truth is we're all flawed. Trying to pretend we're not is the greatest act of deception to others and ourselves. After spending 20 years living with a constant hum, suggesting there was something more, I finally owned my story. I love that constant hum. I think that's such a great way to describe it. And then you finally owned your story. So Jenny, I would love for you to tell our listeners, what story did you finally own that was giving you that constant hum back there?
Yeah, well, it's a story of that I am enough and I can do the things in life that I always dreamed of, and that I can own me, you know, and you know, I've always loved, ever since a child, I've loved like luxury items, and I was shamed and mocked by my childhood family for it. And I'm owning that, you know, we're all different. And yeah, I happen to love luxury, and I'm now able to show it, you know, to the world. And also, I like to be seen. I love to be on video. I love to tell my story, and that was wrong. You know, it was better to be invisible. And then I had three invisible diseases, bulimia, Lyme disease, and now breast implant illness, and they are going out on Tuesday. So excited about that. So, yeah.
I had a friend, a virtual friend who just went through that surgery, and it's like a real thing. And we can definitely talk about that. So back in your childhood, you talk about how you loved luxury items and that wasn't allowed. Mm-hmm. Right now, you and your husband live in Canada and you're on a farm. Were you on a farm in the Netherlands when you were younger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was, but then we really lived in a lack mentality not, you know, a lot of money financially. And luck is that I did marry a man with a big farm in the Netherlands, and we're doing quite well in Canada. And I'm actually now in our mountain condo, because that's kind of my city urban vibe. that I get here. We're right in the middle of the buzz.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was my thing too. Last year, I just said like, okay, let's just invest. This town is booming and it's been a great investment. But that was my, you know, I wanted that because I lived on that farm and it's a beautiful farm and a beautiful area, but I knew I wanted more. I have enough, but I also want more, and that's okay, you know. And I'm and I'm just saying that's my fuck it factor. Fuck it to the people that mock me or shame me. I don't want them in my life anymore. And I have
Amen. Amen, sister. I love that you dropped the F-bomb in your website. I'm always dropping the F-bomb. I love that. I mean, you gotta be who you are. And I find it super interesting because I grew up in a rural area as well in the States here in Northwest Arkansas. And it was, you know, sort of like this lack of mentality. My grandfather was what they called a dirt farmer, although he had a big farm, you know. But it seems really like a juxtaposition, like you live on a farm, but you want a life of luxury, because a lot of people don't see that as being cohesive. They're like, you know, you live on a dairy farm?
That is dysfunctional, I think. Yeah. Why the fuck not? Like, why
exactly?
Live a luxury life as a farm wife, right?
Exactly. When I was, Jenny and I were talking before the episode, as I was married to a dairy farmer for 20 plus years. And we had a bunch of old, you know, we had a bunch of farm trucks around and tractors and stuff. And here I drove a little red Ford Probe sports car. So people thought I'd gone like crazy, you know, because it wasn't like this perception that they have of us farm wives. You know,
what I'm trying to say. Sorry. Yeah, I think we have perceptions, right? And as a farmer, I have to be a certain way. And my oldest son is actually studying now and taking over the farm, and he's gay. So you know, but I don't want to talk about that because that's his life. But you know, screw all those ideas we have, right?
That's interesting because my youngest son is taking over the family farm. So I've got three children and he's the one that was like, I want to be a dairy farmer. So you talked about how you had these invisible illnesses and bulimia being one of them. When did that start for you, and how did you, because that's such a serious issue, how did you move yourself out of that?
I was 18 when it started, and it just comes from what I later found out from, of course, childhood and feeling abandoned, and I have to turn my phone off here, and it actually lasted until I was 40. But I mean, it was not like, it was in with periods of times when I was very stressful and stuff, it would really flare up. And I started healing when my parents passed away in the Netherlands. I was 37 and they were really old. That was also a reason, you know, my siblings are really old, and always kind of felt foreign and different in my family. And when my dad passed away, I was really like, okay, this eating thing that I have is not normal. I always had shared it with my husband though, but he's not a psychologist. He didn't know how to help me. He was the only one knew. And then I started looking for help, like I did different programs. When I was 40, it finally totally ended, but I still struggled with binge eating till I was like 46. And that's still something I need to be aware of. You know, I'm not binge eating anymore, but I can eat a few too many Easter eggs still. And then I have to ask myself, like, okay, is this why it's not tasting good anymore? What am I really feeling, or what am I hiding? Or it was definitely a journey that wasn't fixed in one day. But I also wouldn't want to change any of it.
Yeah. So do you find it easier to deal with those, that emotional eating, that binge eating, as you move forward in your own, how do I want to say this? Do you find it easier to deal with this binge eating and emotional eating as you move forward being more the person who you want to be?
Yeah, because I never knew who I was and what I wanted, because the little child that I was and knew what she wanted and who she was shamed and quieted at some point. So
yeah,
she wasn't safe to be herself. So when I really started, yeah, in my 40s, to say, fuck it, started studying and started my business, then I was like, oh my goodness, all this time that I worried in my mind with all these stories and this eating disorder, I'm now using for my big dreams and my purpose. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed being a mom, but that was not what fueled me. You know, I was very athletic too, but that was also part of my eating disorder, to be honest. Yeah. And it didn't fill me up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've interviewed almost 100 women on this podcast, and our stories are similar, basically the same underneath that constant hum, as we, you know, talked about earlier. And we just stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff, or we're shamed, or, you know, it comes from, you know, sexual trauma when we were young, or, you know, whatever. And by the time we reach a certain age, it's like, you know, it's like you say, it's like, you know, either, you know, it's like, fuck it, I'm going to be who I am, or we just become too fearful and we can't move down that path. And we just stay where we are, which I think is really super sad. We are enough. So after you said, fuck it, I'm going to be who I am, you said you started studying and different things. What were some of the things you specifically did to help you on your path?
I was studying wellness coaching. That was the first step. Well, the first thing was one of my nutrition coaches that I had in the past. We met in LA one day for lunch because I was there to visit a doctor for my Lyme disease. And she was like, she kicked me in the butt and she was like, you got to do something with your life. You have this energy around you. And then seriously, that afternoon, I started Googling, like, what would I want to do? I would maybe want to help people with Lyme or bulimia. That's how it started. I ended up now doing something different, but hey, that's okay. You know, we got to give ourselves that, because started studying that wellness coaching was really, it was healing, because I went deeper. I had connections with women that had same mindset. I had to go on video for the first time. I had to get out of my shell. And I was so scared the whole time that I did it. I had like, just like, oh, it was so tight. And I was so anxious, but I knew I had to get through it. And then I also started personal training, studying. That's kind of something I always wanted to do, and nutrition. Mm-hmm. And then I started my brand, True Yeti. But in 2020, I ended up going a different way to really step into me and being a model and a speaker. And yeah, I just own it. I want to be seen. And I love to be on pictures. And I love fashion. And but that wellness story is still something that I like to, you know, I love to write too, and speak. So that wellness story, I just literally take women on my story, on my journey of, you know, I'm just being honest. And Wednesday, I had a lot of tears flowing, and Yeah, I'll share that, you know, because it's normal.
Yeah. I love that. So much to unpack here. But one of the things that I want to say to everyone listening is that you talked about doing this thing that was fearful to you and it was anxiety producing, and but you pushed through it because, you know, and it doesn't have to be people, listeners, it doesn't have to be video, it could be anything, you know, but you have to push through that. One of the things I always say, and I'm sure you're going to find it true, is that once you get on the other side of what you were afraid of, you're like, that wasn't a big deal. What was I so scared of?
Yeah. No, that's so true. And, you know, what I really discovered is with everything, every new thing that I'm taking on is scary again. But I also now know from experience, I can get through it. And I can also ask for help from other people and support. And I also find what I have found is that healing certain things and looking into childhood or whatever you went through, right? There, for me, it was my family, childhood family. For others, it's maybe bullying or a teacher in school or sexual abuse in your 20s or whatever. But I mean, stuff happens in life, and we need to be able to look at it and have feelings around it. And I find that by letting go of those things, I'm able to let new things, new exciting things into my life. And those things are sometimes scary, but we can handle it. We can handle it.
It's so true what you're saying, because a lot of what we did in the past, a lot of our stories that we've created or whatever, they take up a lot of space. You know, we've only got so much space in our brain that, but I love what you said, because you can't create a new path if you don't try new things. And just like you said, you know, you went down this one path and you learned so much, but then you decided, I'm going to take a different turn, and that's okay. That's the idea behind it, exploration. You know, you don't know till you know. And my path over the last 10 years has just been like, I never thought I'd be doing a podcast, but here I am. Cause like you, I like to be heard. So, So what advice would you give for women who have these things in their head, like you just talked about, the past issues? How do we get those out to make room for new experiences?
You got to know and be aware that the stories that you're telling yourself, they're not your own stories. They're maybe from an ex-husband or a teacher or a religion or society, childhood, family. And what for me really helped was emotional freedom technique, tapping. And you literally tap with your fingers on meridian points on your face. And you say limiting beliefs, like in the first, you do like 3 or 4 rounds. And the first round is, I'm not good enough. Like, I can't do that. I cannot become a teacher. I can't go back to school. Those are stories that you tell yourself. And then the second round is more releasing. And the third round is affirmations of, I can do this step by step. Or, for me, that was really empowering and really neurologically, it's scientifically proven that it's changing your brain, actually your whole chemistry. Mm-hmm. You can even change your genetic DNA with it. And I actually hired a tapping coach for my boys who are 17 and 19, because they have taken on some of my, you know, I've been a good mother and they had a good dad, but I was sometimes emotionally not there. So they need to change some stuff too. So I found that very powerful. But I have to say, whatever resonates with you. You know, if you, the good thing about social media is that you can find empowering people that say things that resonate with you. And that's where you start, and that's how you wake up. And you know, I discovered for myself, it wasn't about the food. I was just a people pleaser, a codependent. I was, if my husband was in a bad mood, then I thought I had to be in a bad mood. Or if my friend was upset and had drama, I needed to have drama and needed to be upset. You know, stuff, things like that. You have to find things that resonate with you and start healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent point. It's so true. You know, where your mind goes, you go. So if you think you're not enough, you're not enough.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. I love how, cause I know tapping, you know, so you talk about tapping with the limiting beliefs first, right? Yeah. And then the letting go of those. And then the third part is I am good enough. I can go back to school. I can.
Yeah.
Do whatever. Whatever I want.
Yeah.
Wow, that 30 minutes has gone fast. So just a great conversation. But I want to spend some time, first of all, before we go, talking about what you do now to help women. But before that, I've been on your Instagram account, and we'll drop that down in the show notes. It's a beautiful account, not just aesthetically, but I really liked the things that you have to say and the things that you teach women. So I'm like, I'm going to follow this gal. So just tell us what you're doing today to help women.
Well, I'm an influencer now. I changed into an influencer, or you can call it content creator or model, but I work independently, freelance, or brands. I partner with brands and all sorts of brands, but luxury brands, because I love luxury. and because I always thought wasn't good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. I cannot do that. I live on a farm. I cannot do a photo shoot in LA. No, you know, all these stories I told myself, and I take people, women, on my story, and I'm just being honest. And yes, you can do shit. Like, if you want to go back to school and you don't know how to get the money, if you get your mindset in the right place and unblock some of that money stuff, the money will show up too, you know. Like, and I'm just trying to empower women, like, hey, you're not too old, because you have raised kids, your life is not over. You can do anything what you desire in life. And it also doesn't happen in one day. If you really love it, you're willing to show up for it every day and show up for it and do it. And speaking to, I mean, it still freaks me out to go on a stage. but yeah, I want my story to be heard. So what else can I do? Hiding won't get me anywhere. So because I'm married for 23 years, that doesn't mean that I can't go to Paris and Greece this fall by myself with another group of women, right?
Yeah.
I made that very clear to my husband, and he's a Dutch a progressive feminist kind of guy. But you got to stand up for yourself and for your dreams and who you want to be and what you want to be and how you want to live life. And your neighbors are not gonna decide how you have to live your life. No, you. And before you know it, it's over.
Oh my gosh, so true. And I loved what you said, because mine went blank. Train left without me. That's what I say all the time. I was on a stage once talking to a bunch of people, and I just like stopped, and then I thought, I'm just gonna say train left without me, and they all laughed. And you know, sort of broke the thing. But oh, I know what I was going to say now. Yeah, you know, if you, I have loved our conversation and I love what I've seen on your Instagram. So if Jenny had not decided to go out in the world, or any other woman that I've talked to, when we tell our stories, we inspire other women, maybe not to go down the path that you go down or that I go down or Sally goes down, but I think it encourages them to see, hey, there's someone just like me. I grew up just like that. I've always wanted to be a model, but I was 5'6". I always wanted to, you know, do this or do that. And here's someone my age who's doing it. So I'm going to tell my listeners today is that if you have a story to tell, you need to share it. You need to find a way to share that story with other women, because that's how we, as a collective are going to really move women over 50 into where we need to be, you know, not hiding, not rocking chairs with our grandbabies, knitting socks or whatever, you know, like my grandma used to do, but out in the world, being seen and being heard. I love that theme. So before we go, do you have anything else that you would like to tell my listeners, or anything on your mind, or parting words of wisdom before we head off? If not, that's okay. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I want to say that you are unique in no matter, because nobody has your story, nobody has your life, nobody has your looks. You are important. You are worthy. So please do what you want to do. You know, it doesn't have to be a model or a podcaster. It can be anything, or
exactly,
you know, anything that makes you feel worthy and seen and valued, because you are.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's a good place to end. Jenny, thank you so much. This has been such a fabulous conversation. I have really, really enjoyed talking with you. So we'll have to have you back as a guest sometime. So
thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jenny, so much. Thank you to my listeners. And until next time, stay awesome.